go to Genesis chapter 5 to start. Genesis chapter 5. And I'd like to share on the subject of walking with God. And just an incredible thing that we have the privilege of being able to do. And as we all know, walking means to take steps with your legs, one in front of the other, towards some type of place or thing. You know, that's what walking is. And that's the literal sense of it. The Bible uses the word walk or walking or walked in that sense. It's a literal walking. You know, it said Jesus walked across the water and took it step by step. Well, unusual place to walk, but he did. And then there's the figurative sense of walking. And the figurative sense refers to a person's conduct, manner of living, actions that they take. It's not literally a foot after, you know, foot in front of each foot and moving along, but it's conduct. We have heard, I'm sure, many times the old saying, talk the walk and walk the talk. You know, it's not literally talk about you walking to the kitchen. It's a way of living, choices that we make. And so the Bible uses both manners. And you can kind of learn a lot about an individual by their actions. In the political realm, for offices like the judges, and, you know, federal judges, or the president, or, you know, they vet people to see, okay, what has this person done that we don't like, that we, before we get propped up there, what has he done or not done? And they can tell by your actions what your life is like. So, very similar with things like that in God's Word. And in Genesis chapter 5, there's a verse that there's not a lot of English words in it, but it says a whole lot. And verse 22, referring to a man named Enoch, verse 22 says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Methuselah was the oldest living person ever. But he walked with God. Doesn't say a whole lot about Enoch in the Bible, but this one verse says a lot. If you're walking with God, there's a lot behind that statement. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch walked with God. Before I got involved with God's Word, I really had very little knowledge of anything about God, very little. I just knew there was a God. I knew he had a son named Jesus. I understood that the Bible talked about God. I really didn't know what it said at all. And I had absolutely no clue growing up that an individual, a person, could actually walk with God Almighty. I just was astounded when I started learning about what God's Word said, that you can actually walk with God. I mean, to me, that concept was like out of this world. And it just blessed me so much when I finally learned we can walk with God. And what a privilege. And Enoch did that. And here we're going to look at a couple verses about Enoch to see a little bit about his life. Chapter 11. Verse 5, it says, "By faith," or by believing, "Enoch," it's the same Enoch, "was translated that he should not see death." Translated referring to being transported, moved from one spot to the other. "That he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." That's what Enoch did. He pleased God. Verse 6 tells a lot about what that pleasing is. "But without believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So it shows here that Enoch pleased God, and that to please God, you got to believe. what his word says. So apparently Enoch followed, believed what God's word said that was revealed to him. Let's go to Jude, to your right a little bit. Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, before Revelation. And this is the other place that makes mention of Enoch. Verse 14. Really not a chapter. I mean, it's not, you know, there's no two chapters. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. God showed Enoch what was coming down the pipe that still hasn't happened, that's revealed in the book of Revelation, of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down with 10,000s of his saints. So he showed him a little bit of what's going on in the future. Did that excite him? I bet you it did. Before we started learning about God and his word, did we know anything about the gathering together? You know, I don't know. I never heard. We know maybe some of the things, because the great gems in God's word, righteousness and justification and salvation. I didn't know any of it. But as we turn our hearts to God, he starts showing us, and we could revel in it, really excited. God showed Jude way back then what was going to happen, and it was set in his heart. Really wild. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. So Enoch walked with God. And in verse 9 of chapter 6, talking about Noah, here's another man. But Noah found grace.
Excuse me.
That's Thank not you. Grace Meyer, is it? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's verse 8, sorry. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect, or upright, in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Says a lot. Listen. Says a lot about Noah. He was upright with God, and he walked with God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Remember, it was Noah that God tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, make me an ark. Go for wood. Get all those animals on there, bring your family on there. There's going to be some rain. And the rain came, and he floated away safely and made out. He was walking with God. Genesis chapter 17, this is about Abraham, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, you're too old to walk with me. No. Said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And the word perfect could be other. It could also be translated as upright, not perfect in the sense, I mean, no errors, no mistakes, just without any flaws. It's because that's not available. But to walk uprightly before God. So God wanted him, Abraham, to walk uprightly before him. Abraham did walk with God. What a privilege to think that God Almighty would be calling Abraham. If you were Abraham, God appeared to you and said, hey, I want you to walk with me. That'd be pretty cool. Now here's the thing. God's holy, God's perfect, God is perfect. He's without flaw. So if somebody is going to walk with him, or you know, God and an individual walking together, God doesn't have to do anything to change his ways. He's already perfect. So what's that leave you with? The individual has got to change his way. So he was telling Abraham, you know, walk uprightly before me and with me. And so man is the person that's got to do the changing, right? God's already perfect. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're going to see a few examples of that. Deuteronomy chapter 10. If a person is going to walk with God, that person will need to line up their ways with God's ways. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Because when you walk with somebody, basically walk with somebody or a group of people, you're kind of basically in step with one another. You're going in the same direction. You're doing the same things. So if we're going to walk with God, our ways need to be lined up with God's ways. And all throughout the Old Testament, we're just going to look at a couple of them. The examples of God telling God's people, walk in my ways, do what I command you to do. And then we'll see some of the great benefits that were involved too. Chapter 10 and in verse 12. I'm going to read a few of these verses. Chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear or love the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That tells a lot right there. To walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve. God doesn't have to change his ways. Israel was being besieged or told to change their ways to God's ways. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And it's for that one of the purposes, for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord hath a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. You know, get rid of your contentious ways before me. Just cut it all off. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Doesn't take a bribe. Dennis is a building inspector, and he started this summer or something.
October.
So he had mentioned to me, and it's up in North Jersey, that somewhere along the line somebody's going to try to bribe him. And I knew it's going to come, and that day did come. You know, and bribery just means to blind. It's like to turn your face. I'm just going to turn my face, turn my eyes. I don't see anything. Remember that show, Hogan's Heroes in the 60s? And Sergeant
Salt, you know? I see nothing.
Sort of like that, only not as innocent. So, verse 18. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him his food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible or magnificent things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down in Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge, not your own, and his statutes, not your own, and his judgments, not your own, and his commandments every once in a while when you want to. No, always. That's how God, you know, what he wanted for the children of Israel. Let's go to chapter 13, verse 4. It says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear or respect or honor or love him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. God's desire for the children of Israel was that they would walk in his ways. We you know, as parents, have that desire when we're raising children that they walk in the ways that they're being taught, which if we're doing it right, we're teaching them how to love God and to do his word. And so we would like our children to walk in those ways. When they choose other things, it's not so exciting for us. Still love them, but not so exciting for us. But God wants his people. He wanted Israel. Here's the scriptures concerning Israel. To walk in his ways. Let's go to chapter 5. Verse 33. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. They were to observe that. Remember, they were the unperfect ones. God's already perfect, so they're going to walk together. Who's going to do the changing? You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Very simple. Chapter 11, verse 22. It doesn't take a rocket science mentality, abilities, to figure this out. Chapter 11, we'll start with verse 22. Here's some of the benefits of doing this for Israel. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall be your coast. And this is the promised land that he told them they would be able to have. That's why he's saying this. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Remember the first, when they first crossed the Jordan, and the miracle of the Jordan, you know, opening up, drying up. Then the first city they went to, anybody remember the first city they went to?
Sure.
John?
Jericho.
And it says that the people who lived in Jericho says their hearts were melted when they heard that the children of Israel were coming their direction. Because they heard all the things that happened in Egypt. And they said, they're coming here. And their hearts melted. And that was a fulfillment of what he says here. Verse 25, there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said. So he worked that circumstance. Verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after, to go after other gods which you have not known. But turn aside away from, you know, going after these other gods. Let's go to Exodus, chapter 18. Genesis, Exodus. They were to walk with God by adhering to what God's word said. Exodus chapter 18. And what great benefits there were, what we just read, for the children of Israel. Verse 20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moses was supposed to teach what God's word said to these children of Israel, so that they can walk in them. Let's go to Leviticus 18. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, one chapter over, or one book over. It's just so simple. Leviticus 18, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, shall you not do. So what you guys saw in Egypt, and what those unbelievers did, the Egyptians did, those people who did not have a love for me, don't do that. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I brought you, shall you not do. And they were in the Canaan land. The inhabitants of Canaan and the actions that those people did, he said, don't do like they're doing either. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. So he's specifically telling them what not to do. Don't live like they live. You ever hear the say, you know, you hear it around. Hey, everybody's doing it. Why not do it? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then the old saying, hey, if they told you to jump off of the Brooklyn Bridge, would you jump? Mm-hmm. Right? But just don't go after what they're doing. Verse 4. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Just very plain and simple. Tell them what to do, what not to do. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. Verse 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments, and think about them once in a while. No. And do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. You know, that's obviously a figure of speech, but your actions, if you're doing stuff that the worldly people do, that land is just going to spew you out. You're going to lose it. Verse 23, and you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for that they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. These were people who just did a lot of stuff that was evil. I mean, turn on the TV set if you want to see what this is talking about. There is so much junk on television, it's unbelievable. And there are actions that people are taking on the TV set. They're acting, but they're doing things that people do that are contrary to life, the goodness of life from God. Joshua chapter 22. I know it sounds like a broken record, but it's not me talking. It's God keeps bringing it up to Israel. Chapter 22. And in verse 5, Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. But take diligent heed, that refers to a lot of effort, to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Just a great exhortation. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read a couple verses in Proverbs. Proverbs shows a lot of the paths to go down and the paths to not go down. Ways of doing things that is good for you and ways of doing things that won't bless you and warns you, don't go down that road. Chapter 1, verse 15. Here's one of them. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. You know, and it's a reference to these guys that say, hey, why don't we band together, we'll beat these people up, we'll take their money, and we'll run. And he said, don't go down that road. It's an exhortation. Don't walk like they're walking. Don't go down their path. chapter 2, verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Chapter 2, verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That's what God Almighty will do for people who walk uprightly. And in verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Let's go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And like I said earlier, before I started understanding anything about God and His Word, I never thought in a thousand years that I would be able to walk with God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and earth. I mean, it's just wild to think that, you know, that we have that available to us. And the way to do it is to adhere to His Word. Psalm 84, verse 11. And some of these verses will show the benefits of walking with God and the great heart involved with walking with God. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He be withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a promise. He's a sun and shield. Ever be outside in a cold day and it's cloudy and all of a sudden the cloud moves and the sun's there? And that nice feeling of, nice. Or you need something to shield you. God takes care of those needs in our lives. No good thing will He hold from them that walk uprightly. It's not that He doesn't want to bless the ungodly. It's just that their lives don't allow Him to. Because He will not reward evil with good. That's it. You know, if your kid tells you to F you, you don't hand them a candy bar afterward and say, oh, that's wonderful. just terrific. Just doesn't work that way. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Look at the heart in there. Unite my heart to fear or respect thy name. Just what a attitude to have and to incorporate that David had. And here, you know, we can learn from that great heart. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Light does make manifest darkness, and it does show us the way. You ever go into a dark room, and if you're unfamiliar with it, you're a little hesitant to walk too far because you don't know what you're going to walk into. So you're looking for the light. Of course, if it's your own home and you haven't, nobody's played tricks on you, you probably know where the furniture is, you know. But I've been in situations where you're outside, it's bright, and then you go into a room inside and it's dark, and you really don't know if you don't know anything about it. I just don't charge in. I kind of feel my way around. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, like, you really can't see much in that fireplace, but once you shine a flashlight in it, anything in there you can see very easily, but without the light. So He's a light for us. verse 16, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. It's nice to be able to rejoice. Psalm 119. It's nice to have joy, and it's nice to be able to rejoice. If our days are filled with nothing but misery day after day after day, not fun. Looking forward to a better day, but rejoicing is nice. Who does not like to rejoice? I mean, it's just nice. And God makes it available to those who choose to walk with Him. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed, not cursed, not beat up, not horrible, but blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And God describes these people as blessed, not cursed, not beat up, not, you know, all miserable, but blessed. Let's go to verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. At liberty, in the center margin, says as large. You know, you can kind of walk around a life. You can do a lot of things because you know that you have God's protection in life. Let's go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138 and verse 7. Remember Psalm 23, the Lord, which is that the one that says, though I walk in the shadow of death, I will not
fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Fear no evil. Why? Because he knows God's got his back. And we can. I've walked into some very dangerous situations. And God said, go ahead and do it. I think I told you time about the like 30-some dogs. It was in like October or November where it was dark by 5 o'clock and we had this rental house in Wall Township and the guy said, called up and said, my water heater, I don't have any hot water here, hot water. So I went there, it was around 5 o'clock, 5:30. And it was an old house and it had a basement where you can get it out in from the outside, one of those walk-through things. And I was going to go down and check the water heater, and I started noticing dogs. You know, he had the Bilco doors open, and those dogs running out. And I said, "Okay, I got right back by my van. I told the guy, I said, "How many dogs you got down there?" And he goes, "Ah, about 30." And I said, "All right." So I walked over a little closer, and I asked God, "Should I go down there or get back in my van?" And he said, "Go down there." So I said, "Okay." And what it was is he took in stray dogs, and there was hay bales all over, and it was a basement about the size of this room with all these dogs in it, then nothing else but the hay. Mm. And he had a couple of little lights, you know, the lights that were on the ceiling, a couple. So it was pretty dim. And I just went in there, and they all just kind of milled around slowly. Nobody got all upset. They just kind of like as if I wasn't even there. And I went to the water heater. It just had turned out. So the wind must have blown out the pile light, and I lit it, and everybody was happy. But I remember him saying, "Yeah, it's okay." And I remember saying, "Okay." And I thought about that verse. Yeah. You know, that, hey, okay, it's a dangerous situation, but God's going to protect me. He wouldn't say, "Yeah, go down there," and then five of them start biting me. And I had this thing about dogs, because I got bit when I was a kid, and I was always very careful when I get around a dog, make sure it's not going to go after me. So it was quite interesting. But because
of dogs.
Our walk with God, we can, in times of trouble, do well. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Next week, we're going to look at a man in the Old Testament who did walk with God and see an illustration of this verse. An incredible record of God taking care of his people. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Psalm 143. It's just such a wonderful privilege for us to have the opportunity to walk with God Almighty. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that we would have that opportunity in life? And we want to continue to choose that. Verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Isn't that something? When we wake up in the morning, you know, our hearts do turn to God. For me, for many years, the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is not say, holy shit. It's morning already. I just tell God, I say good morning, and I say, I love you, love you, love you. I keep saying it in my mind. This is what I do for me. In the morning, I want to be aware of his loving kindness to me, and I want to be mindful of my Heavenly Father. But what a great heart in this verse. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Just wonderful. And lastly, we're going to go to, that's it. the end of the sharing. But we have that great opportunity to walk with God. And we continue to learn God's word, but we do know a lot of God's word. There's certainly a foundation that we have that it just helps us and blesses us. And we grow in it. And to walk with him. What a privilege. I know some people brag about who they know. They're like, oh, you know, I'm really good friends with whatever actor or actress. And try to impress people. Or, I'm really good friends with the governor. that might not
impress anybody.
Who knows? You know, I'm really good friends with this astronaut. He's really out of this world. But anyway, you know, sometimes people try to impress others by who they know. We can top any of that. Hey, we know God Almighty. I know God Almighty. I'm really good friends with him. So, not that we say it in a bragging way. It's just a privilege to be able to do so.